It's time for To The Last Drop podcast with Liam Del Carme and Brendan Nell.
Welcome back. It's To The Last Drop. I'm Brendan Nell, and with me, as always, is Liam Del Carme. We have a special guest tonight, Stormers captain. Well, I'm not sure if he's captain this week, but he was captain against the Sharks. Nathan Fischer, who's obviously looking forward to a very big game. Number eight, I see the Stormers website says at the moment. It's going to be the eighth time they hopefully beat the Bulls from a Stormers perspective. I'm sure the Bulls are hoping something else. Nathan, welcome.
Careful what you say, Brendan. We know where you live.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat rugby and a bit of wine, so I'm lucky to be on.
Let's start off with the most recent news, the Springbok alignment camp. You were given an invitation. You've got to go there next week. It's a decent Cape Town, so you don't have to travel too far. But how do you feel about making that, and just excited, I suppose?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's when I got the news, I was quite emotional. When I got the news, obviously, like my story has been a bit different. A lot of dry years coming out of school, and just persevere through all of the tough times, kept on working and dreaming about the possibility of being part of the Springbok group and any form of capacity. It's been a bit surreal just almost finding out and just all the emotions that comes with it. But obviously, like, it's early days and it's only alignment camp, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
You make an interesting point because you're right, because your journey has been slightly different. I mean, I remember interviewing you a while back where you spoke about how you will not be defined by rugby. There are other things that, in your life. That in itself sort of unburdens you, I suppose, to play the game and live, sort of did that journey take itself?
Yeah, no, 100%, Liam. So I think I also told you back then, like, my whole thing has been just to I just want to reach my potential, as a rugby player, because for a long time I just felt like, due to injuries and not coming through the ranks as quickly as I wanted to, I wasn't reaching my potential, and that's always been almost the focus for myself, is just to reach my potential, and wherever that takes me or leads me, I'll be happy. Recently, as I've gotten more starts in a row, I've almost knocked on that potential door of my abilities. I think I've still got a little bit to go, but and it's obviously now it shows, being included in the alignment camp. So, it's nice. But like you say, rugby's only a part of my life. It's not, I'm not the only shared rugby player, all that. I know for some people I would be, but, for people that know me, it's like, I play rugby. I'm blessed to do it, but I like to be defined, just the man that I am, the person that I am, and also the time we play rugby is it's 15 years maybe if you're lucky, 20 years if you're Brock Harris. So it's a big life, it's a long life after rugby also. Definitely not something that I try to just think of myself as a rugby player.
Nathan, I want to take you back to probably one of those dark times. I still wrote a story way back in Report a couple of years ago about a list that was doing the rounds at SA Rugby's president's meeting of a bunch of Western Province players that the then CEO wanted to offload at that stage. And I remember your name pertinently being on that, which I was quite surprised at. I know it's a horrible way to read stuff like that in the newspaper, but that's the type of thing you're talking about. I mean, that probably wasn't the best probably timing your time in Cape Town in at Province.
No, I mean that's the type of list you don't want to be a part of, and it's almost like the headmaster's list, you know, of guys having to come and see him. Yes, I remember that. That was quite a shock for all of us. You know, that was just deemed, you know, surplus. You know, it's like I just moved. You know, I just asked my now wife, you know, back then girlfriend, to marry me and move, you know, to Cape Town. And I've, you know, basically 6 months in, the article comes out of, I think it was the words was, anyone looking for players, you know, and then it was a list. And I mean, it was actually crazy. You know, I got calls from, my agent called me, my dad called me, lots of people were calling me. They're like, listen, well, you know, they didn't want to speak to you about this. And I was just like, guys, I just found out, just as you guys did. And I mean, I remember Chris from Sale, he was also on that list, and he was Western Province captain at that time. Skaram Dubeni, a few other guys. It's, you know, it's actually, I thought like we're stalwarts at the Stormers back then. You know, I mean, that was just, I think it actually just spoke, you know, of also where Western Province was back then. You know, I think lots of stuff happening behind the doors, which us players didn't even know about. You know, Dobbo obviously came out quickly and just said, listen, this is not how we feel. This is not something that we put out. We obviously rate you, and we see a future for you. So, yeah, but I mean, again, it's never nice to be able to read those stuff in the news, because it always, you know, it makes you as a player, you can be as, you know, experienced, or, you know, well, what's the word, old or what, but, you know, it's never nice to read something like that, because you immediately start almost questioning, like, listen, but, you know, what is my players looking like here? So, yeah, a bit of a tough few weeks then, but, yeah, luckily, everything worked out quite right.
What has kept you going, Nietling? Because I mean, obviously, players go through over peaks and through troughs, and they sort of have to have a mental attitude, you know, to keep on pushing. What's been your motivation? Whether it's through injuries, or whether you read things like that, or whether you feel that, you know, you're not a first team member all the time. What keeps you ticking?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's. I think there's a few stuff, you know, that I think almost is the makeup of my motivation. You know, to play rugby and to keep on almost pushing myself to reach my potential. And you know, it's. I mean, the obvious one is just you want to make your family proud. Like I went to my parents back in grade 10. I was in Rustenburg back then, Rustenburg High School, and I told them, listen, I want to give rugby like a full go, but I don't think I'm not going to get the best exposure where I was back then, you know, playing for the Leopards. And they almost, you know, they had to make a few plans, you know, because going to Grey wasn't, it was a bit of a more, you know, financial stretch for my parents. So they had to make a few sacrifices on that end to almost let me go, you know, to Grey and to pursue the dream of playing rugby. I'm conscious that every time I get to go out there and play rugby, you know, it's also because of a lot of sacrifices they made to be able to send me to go and play in a brilliant rugby school, you know, be part of something really special. You know, it's. I think most rugby players will say that you just want to make your family proud. You want to let them have a lucky weekend, drink a beer with their friends, say, you know, that's my son, I'm proud. You know, and then like I said about my potential, I really believe like I got this gift from the big man upstairs, you know, to play rugby and to also be able to influence guys. You know, through that platform, help people you know, in whatever way I can, not just, you know, in rugby, but, you know, helping people outside, you know, with whatever that looks like. And I mean, like, I think it's something that you either have or you don't, you know, and just waking up every morning and thinking to yourself, how can I get better? How can I get closer to that full potential that you almost know is out there, but you haven't reached yet? I mean, I've got a massive passion for rugby, you know. It's like I tell my wife a lot. We speak about it, you know. When I'm driving to training on a Monday, you know, it's like I can just think like how many people in their lives almost dread that feeling of, you know, driving to work. You're not really excited about the week long ahead, you know. Whereas I like genuinely look forward to my week. You know, I look forward to be able to mix with the guys, you know, at rugby. You know, it's 100% what I wanted to do when I was a little boy. You know, I wanted to play rugby, and I'm fortunate enough to do it. So, you know, it's like I say, it's not only one answer. There's a few stuff that, you know, almost gets me up every morning and makes me, you know, go in and do the gym sessions properly, do the field sessions properly, you know, be engaged in the meetings. Really, you know, not. I've almost as I've grown up, just gone with the, you know, this mindset of you never want to waste a day. You know, whereas we are the junior back then, sometimes you would almost just, you know, say, okay, I'm just gonna get the day over with. Whereas now you know, there's not a lot of days left, you know, in this environment that we are, and it's almost just about making every day, you know, count, because it's not a lot left, unfortunately.
The other thing I was going to say, I mean, I was going to turn a bit more to this week's game, and then I was going to first ask you, you know, is France back from all these kudu controlling things in the Karoo? Has he tamed all those kudus and got them back in their place, or is he there again? And secondly, what's it been like to obviously, you know, have somebody like that who's really a legend of the game, and, you know, will obviously go down in history as one of the big, the greats of the game. And to work with every day and to feed off that knowledge as well.
Yeah, no. So the kudu population is under control again. That's the good news. they were running riot there in the Karoo. So then they got France out there just to get the numbers back in line. But yeah, he has been back training. You know, he's it's obviously it's a bit of a special case. You know. With his lower back, and, you know, just almost making sure that everything is fine before you know, giving him the green light. I also believe that, you know, he is the most important, you know, guy in the national setup. You know, like you just in the second part of the question. You know, I have no doubt that he is the best starter that ever played for South Africa. Where he's going to be, you know, I mean the amount of load that his body has gone through, you know, for him, you know, not a lot of people speak about it or remember it, but he played in a Currie Cup final when he was, I think, 21 years old. You know, he gets here and Skara, you know, played against Beast, Yanni de Plessis back then and Bismarck, you know, so you start your professional career when you're 20, 21 years old. He's, you know, I think he's 33 this year. That's a 13-year career of not, you know, a bit of Varsity Cup and then maybe Vodacom Cup and then Super Rugby. You know, he's been in the thick of it, you know, since day one, basically. So, you know, his body has gone through a lot. So that's, I think that's why everyone knows, you know, they have to do his rehab properly. You know, make sure he's strong. Make sure you know, when you get a certain age, I don't think the pain will completely ever go away, but, you know, you just want to get it back to manageable. And he's been training this last few weeks, so yeah, I mean, we'll see when the squad gets selected if the buffalo is terug.
For a game like you, the one that you've got this weekend, obviously it's massive. I had a conversation with the Storms coach a while back, and we said it's probably the biggest sort of South African derby since your final in the URC 2 years ago. So obviously there's a lot riding on it. Is a game like this something that the guys, the significance thereof, is it something that you guys talk about? Or is it just you look at it as a game and prepare for it like you would for any other game?
No,
I'm talking about the psychology in particular.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is special. You can't lie and say, okay, you're just, you know, treating it as another game. You know, in that sense, it is another game, but it is against the Bulls. It's a north, south. It's got all the history that's attached to it. You know, it is just, you know, it is what it is. It's more personal. You want to win that game and they want to beat us badly. You know, that's just how it is. And, you know, it's not like the other games are less important or anything, but just, I think the history around, you know, there's North, South, I think that's what's makes it special. It's about, you know, knowing all those big moments that happen. You know, you think of Skogberger's tackle on three, and you think of the Bulls winning the Super Rugby final back then, in Soweto. You know, you think of all those games. I mean, Brocky Arras has been in, you know, almost 100 of them on his own, you know, and he always speaks about the, you know, this is being the, it's what it's about, you know, for you as rugby players. I mean, if I'm just thinking again, if when I was little, me and my brother watching games, you know, it's the Western Province Blue Bulls games, you know, that's the ones you remember, you know, and it's just, you know, you just know how fortunate you are to be a part of it. And obviously the fans, you know, they get on board like from early on, and you know, you've got lots of guys at a workplace. One, they're friends, but also the one is a Blue Bull, the one is a Stormer, you know. So you've got that rivalry. But it's, I mean, at the end of the day, it's very healthy. You know, it's healthy for SA Rugby having these, you know, having these derbies. That's really alive and well again. You know, if you look at that game we played against them in December, you know, all those people coming out, and hopefully, you know, hopefully this weekend will be the same.
The thing I was going to say, I mean, a lot's going to be said this week and has said the last couple of games about you guys' record against them. Yeah, and all the memes go around about the 007 and things like that. And I'm sure there's a few chirps on the field as well. How much does that filter down to you guys? I know the fans love to, you know, the Stormers fans are crowing at the moment because they're on top, and the Bulls fans are obviously hurting there. But how much does that filter down to you guys on the field? Because I can take a bet that a bunch of you have known each other before you went to the provinces from schoolboy days and things like that. So there's probably a bunch of friendships there anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, you look at the, you know, all the Springboks they have. You know, we've got a bunch of those guys have been through, you know, something special at a World Cup quite recently. You know, so you've got friendships there. You've got a lot of guys that's played together. Me and Volku played together at junior level back in, you know, at the Bulls. You know, a few of us actually also, you know, were at the Bulls. One or two of them were at the Stormers. So, you know, there's friendships there, definitely. But again, it's on that day, you want to get one over them, you know, and they want to get one over you. I think the, you know, the whole, almost the, you know, the few, the last few, what do they call it, the last seven games we've won, if they call it what you said now, 007, all that. I don't think that, you know, that's something that we speak about too much. You know, it's again, rugby is such a fickle game and people's memories are quite short. You know, there was literally a time, you know, back when the Bulls, I think, beat us like six or seven times in a row. You know, that just around COVID and, you know, not a lot of fans, you know, we didn't have a lot of fans back then, but they also had us, you know, like quite a few times in a row, you know. So I won't say we'll ever tread that road of thinking, you know, we've got the number or anything like that, because, you know, our rugby, if you don't pitch up one day, it can change very quickly. And they're a quality side. They wouldn't be lying, I think, second or third at the moment, you know. So, you know, it's full focus, and you have to treat this game, you know, as if there's no winning sequence. You just have to go at this game just like it's the first North Star, you know, you're playing in. So, yeah, I know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's a couple of guys that know each other, but also you all of us are quite proud and very competitive and want to get one over the other guy, 100%.
Having said all that,
I just want to ask Nathan to come in and tell a story. He knows the story I'm going to ask him to tell now. This derby is also very special to you because of your family, your in-laws. We can share that. We've spoken about it before, but maybe just share it here for our listeners.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll try and put it in a nutshell. But yeah, basically, so my father-in-law, he was a massive Stormers fan, like massive. I mean, he was a minor in Rustenburg, but he had season tickets on Newlands, and he would go there at least once a month. He'd fly down and he'd take a couple of friends, his family, and they would go and watch the Stormers or Western Province play. So he was like a massive. I mean, he had in his house photos of him with, I think, basically all the Stormers. You know, I see photos of my wife when she was a little girl, you know, with Brady and Corne Krieger, and there's one of Docs. You know, there's so many photos, you know, of them, like after a game, you know, just my father-in-law waiting around to see the players. So he was a massive Stormers fan, and I was obviously playing for the Bulls back when I was a junior, and you know, obviously me and my wife, you know, started you know, almost the socializing a bit there on in university, and she invited me to her house, and I was like, you know, going there, like thinking, okay, like, I'm gonna meet her parents now. And I got there, and I think his words nothing came true. And she told me, Nedling plays for the Blue Bulls. You know, as much as he loved the Stormers, he hated the Bulls. He stand the Bulls. He was just always going on about them. And the funny part actually is he's there were two directors back in their company back then, and he was the big Stormer, and his partner was a big Blue Bull, you know, and still is. He's still got a suite there at Loftus, and he always comes for the games, you know. So they had that rivalry back, you know, at their workplace. They were best friends, but they also, when the Bulls and Stormers were playing, they weren't speaking to each other for that week. And yeah, I mean, like, he just gave me the calls. The silent treatment, you know, I think for the first few months of going to visit my wife, you know, he would basically maybe just now and then greet me, but I don't think he actually acknowledged that I'm, like, you know, I'm actually, you know, serious about his daughter. You know, he actually had a relationship going. He was just calling me Janka's friend, you know, when he was introducing me to his friends, he would just say, oh, that's Janka's friend. And I'm like, oh, actually, I'm a boyfriend, but I wasn't saying it. I was too scared of him. And then, at some point, he was just like, okay, this guy's not going away, and he's actually not too bad. And he started, like, you know, befriending me, and we started, you know, we actually started a nice relationship where we were really close. And you know, he kept on telling me, listen, why don't you move to the Stormers? Why don't you go to the province? That would be like perfect. You know, I was like telling him, listen, I don't have any, you know, I wasn't thinking about going to the Stormers. I'm not thinking like that's my story, you know, going to the Stormers. And either, if any case, if you want to go, that's one thing, you know, they must also want you. So he was just telling me, listen, that would be perfect. If you could play for the Stormers, we would be flying every game, coming to watch. And he was saying he would move down to Cape Town and making plans. And unfortunately, 2017, we lost him in quite a sudden heart attack. He was gone. And a month later, I got an offer from Western Province to move down to Cape Town and go and play for the Province and Stormers. And yeah, as soon as I got that offer, I was quite emotional, because he would have actually been the guy that I would have wanted to call quite quickly and tell him, listen, this is happening now. Your dream is happening. And we lost him, and And like, you know, when I'm playing for a Stormers now, it is quite a sentimental thing for me, because I don't feel like, you know, I never feel like I own this jersey. It's just you're just almost a timely steward of a jersey. You know, you've got your time in it. It doesn't belong to you. And I always just think of, you know, what it would have meant to, you know, to him if he could have seen his son-in-law, you know, play for his beloved team. But yeah, I mean, like I said in that story, you know, I know he's watching, you know, and again, like in weeks like this, it's, you know, I know he's got his watching party, you know, they're in heaven, just telling, you know, everyone, listen, this is my son-in-law, playing for the Stormers. So yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's a bit of a family affair. It is something that I get quite emotional about, you know, on this game, especially, you know, because you just know what it meant to him. You just hope you're making him proud.
Nathan, that was quite a poignant story. And I would imagine, I mean, having made that move, finding yourself in new surrounds, having to make new friends, new teammates. How have you sort of over the years, how has that relationship developed? You and your teammates growing as a team, playing in the URC, winning it. It seems like the team is going from strength to strength, but it also looks like you guys are having fun.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, back then when I joined the Stormers, I was, you know, it's like anything when you get to a new school, you get to a new workplace, you know, the first few days is a bit awkward. You don't really know where you're sitting at lunch, you know, or you're sitting next to someone, you know. But actually, I remember J.D. Schickling just almost took me under his wing quite quickly. We became very good friends quite quickly, you know, and his wife and my wife also great friends. So that helped a lot, you know, him, you know, just almost looking after me. And he also, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I have a motorbike that I 90% of the time use, because in this Cape Town traffic, you can't drive with a car. I mean, you have to drive an hour before training if you want to get there in time. So I have a motorbike, and he also had a motorbike, and we drive into training together. You know that we had this like a group. Quibus Visa also had a motorcycle, and we used to drive in together. You know, they were driving in the front, just flipping bean poles, and I was just here chilling at the back. So, I mean, that helped a lot. But I think the whole culture at the Stormers is one of, you know, a togetherness, and, you know, you're always making everyone feel part of something. That's a big thing at the Stormers. You've got a bunch of guys that really enjoys each other's company, and we really care for each other. So, I think that helps us, you know, in those games we need the little bit of fight, that extra 1 or 2%, you know, that is the stuff that comes through. We really like I say, you know, we enjoy each other's company. And it's not only the rugby, you know, we enjoy having a beer with each other, and it's something that stems from Dobby, and the way he sets everything up, make sure that everyone feels part of the environment, because it's tough, you know. You've got a squad of 50 odd guys, you know, and only 23 can play on a weekend, and it's a juggling, you know, it's a difficult juggling act to make everyone feel like they belong and they're safe. And I mean, you get it right, you know. That's almost the secret in the recipe, is, you know, making everyone feel really that they have a voice in the team. We strive to never have egos, you know. We'd like, you know, no egos. No one thinks he's better than anyone else. All of us are here, it's a privilege for us to be here. You know, it's not your right. So, no, it's something that I have to give Dobbo credit for, you know, the way he organizes things, you know, out of, you know, from rugby also, you know, which really strengthens the bonds of friendship.
If I could just follow up quickly, apart from being outstanding tight head proper and a leader in the Stormers group, you also, let's put it this way, a bit of a social lubricant for the team. I mean, you bring a smile to the guys' faces often, and it's also taken on almost like an official capacity.
Yeah, so, my dad is, you know, he's also, he's a guy that he doesn't wait to, he doesn't ever wait too long before a joke comes. You know, he's a very humoristic guy, you know, looks at the lighter side of life. And I mean, it's just something I got from him, obviously. Like, you know, it's, I don't think it's ever great to take life too seriously. I mean, we've all got our struggles, you know, in some form of, you know, we've all got our stuff that we're dealing with. And my thing is always just to give someone a laugh, you know, make someone feel a little bit better about their day. And just remind people that, you know, it's everything that is happening in your life, that stuff is gonna blow over. You know, we go through the seasons in life, you know, of ups and downs, and sometimes you can feel very heavy. And I just like to, you know, almost help guys not feel heavy, you know. And the people that know me well, you know, they know I'm actually quite a deep guy. You know, I like to chat about deep stuff, and you know, I care a lot for all of my friends. You know, and I'll do anything for, you know, for my friends and for my family. But I do like the humor side of things. And you know, the fine sessions of the games, you know, that's always like, you know, we get in, and you know, it's all good banter, you know. And yeah, it again, it speaks about the culture at the Stormers, where they actually encourage us to be yourself. You know, we've got lots of different personalities, and we don't see it as an obstacle. We see it as, you know, making us strong. You know, we've got lots of guys coming from different backgrounds, but we all get together for the one goal, and that is to make the Stormers, you know, play great, make Cape Town smile. So, yeah.
The other thing, I remember doing an interview with Ruben van Heerden when he was still at the Bulls at that stage, and he was telling us how he likes to read Shakespeare and things like that. You say a deep guy, do you guys have those philosophical chats, or is that not what happens at rugby meetings?
I think if he wants to speak about Shakespeare, he must go to Dobbo. You know, Dobbo is quite also a guy for all the deep poems, and he's, you know, he's obviously written a few books, and so maybe we must set Dobbo and Ruben up for a coffee. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like, again, you know, Ruby, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and we, you know, we obviously got a passion for rugby, but our conversations we can go quite deep. Me, him, and BJ Dixon. You know, we have lots of chats that actually, you know, that doesn't even go about is about rugby. You know, just, you know, speaking about life, speaking about Jesus. You know, speaking about just like random stuff. You know, so that's lacking. You know, it's nice to have, you know, to have those conversations again, because, like I said, you know, it's rugby is only a small part of life.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, I mean, the one thing that comes through quite clearly by the way you guys play is that the culture in the team is pretty good. I mean, we've been, both you and I have been around rugby teams for a number of years, and you can immediately pick up if the culture is good and things are going well in the team and guys want to play for each other. So that's always great to see. And as you say, Dobbo is a huge part of that. He does some fabulous work, and he's not your conventional coach, is he?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, he's, I think the way he puts everything together, you know, if you look at the English, you know, the premiership, you know, you just think of the football teams, you know, you just think of the managers that they have, you know, it's a manager, you put everything together. And that's just how I see it all, you know, he puts everything together. You know, there's a lot of work that goes that goes on in the background that people don't know about, that Dobbo is doing. That's 100% because he's so passionate about the Stormers and Western Province rugby. You know, that's his thing. He bleeds. And I don't want to sound like a cliche, but he bleeds the blue and white hoops. It's a family thing also for him. You know, there's a lot of stories that comes from his dad and so on. And he only wants to make sure that Western Province and Stormers are strong. And I mean, we're grateful for that because I think it's one thing to have someone just, you know, coming in to do a job, but he's really like, I can't see him doing anything else. He's just so passionate about the Stormers and making sure that we enjoy our times playing for the Stormers and actually, you know, making the whole Cape Town and the wider Western Cape, you know, just making them a part of it and making them know that we are playing for them, playing to make their weeks a bit better. You know, all of us know, you know, when the Springboks win a you know, a test and in the World Cup, you know, that your week is just, you know, everything is a little bit better. You know, you're looking at the glass half full, everyone's a little bit more patient at work and everything is nice. And, you know, we're only the Stormers, we're not the Springboks, but we like to think that we can make the people of the Western Cape just a little bit, their weeks a little bit lacquer and, you know, just give them something to look forward to again on the next Saturday.
So we've just lost Liam. He's had some sort of Joburg crisis. His Wi-Fi and everything's crashed, but we're going to carry on. This is, of course, the thing, as we warned you, this is a bit of a wine show as well. I'm drinking a glass of Pinot Noir at the moment. But Liam actually had the question that he wanted to ask you about this was, what wine do you drink? And do you drink Netlingshof?
Netlingshof. No, actually, I haven't had Netlingshof lately. We're actually quite fortunate to stay in the Stellenbosch wine route. So we've got Beierskloof just across by state. I mean, you don't have to look too far, you know, than a Beierskloof Pinotage. And then we've got Kanonkop, you know, like I think 2 or 3 minutes away. Cadet, you know, that's one of my wife's favorites. I mean, then you've got the Franschhoek, you know, wine route quite close by. We actually spoiled for choice here. I mean, we just, you know, it's, you can, on the other side, you go to anyhow through Hidden Valley, Peter Falk, you know, there's just too much. I mean, we've been staying in Western Cape now seven years. And I think we've only managed to see, I think, 10 or maybe 15% of all the wine farms available here. So, no, we spoiled for choice.
I know you're rubbing it in, but you must keep on trying. I mean, you must try and get to all of them. I make that my mission. I try and drink as much wine as possible as well. And your teammates, who's the biggest, I'm going to say wino, but the wine connoisseur?
Yes, I think France actually, you know, he's got a nice, you know, knowledge of all the wines that there is. I know Ruan now also enjoys his wine. Achiva, yeah, I think Achiva also enjoys his wine. And obviously, Ciabella, you know, he's got his own wine. So he's the big guy that we speak about. You know, if you have any wine questions, you go to Ciabella, you know, he's got all the answers.
I'd like to see the wine that Achiva drinks. He's a rather flamboyant character at times, as we've seen.
Yeah.
I think he must come on the show at some point. He must tell us, and we'll get him on you at some point. Yeah. Final question from me, just a bit of a curveball one. You remember the movie The Hangover?
Yes.
It's the comedy, which everybody watched. So you remember the character Alan, the guy with the beard, Jack Galifianakis? Yeah. If you had to cast one of your teammates to be him, who would it be? I thought he was a curveball.
Yes, okay. That Galifianakis. Now we actually had Dion Bleeler at the Stormers, I mean, he's like a lookalike, you know, for him. But he's at the Sharks now, so can't go with him. I mean, it has to be someone short and chubby. Yes. Let me think of it. So I think Ali Fomar could actually be a nice option. Yeah. I mean, Andre Egan-Swender, maybe, you know, if he picked up a few kgs, maybe one or two. Yeah.
Well, no, cool, man. So thanks for the chat and good luck for Saturday. And that's a big game. I'm sure that depending on who people support, that it's going to be a crack. And hopefully Loftus does get filled up. It'd be great to see 51,000 people there as well. But good luck for the game.
Yeah. No, thanks, Brendan. Thanks for having me. And I'll say cheers to Liam. I hope he gets his Wi-Fi going again. Yeah, thanks. It was nice. I enjoyed it. And we'll chat again.
Yeah, no, thanks. And that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week to the last drop. And we'll see what happens. We'll discuss that fixture at length then. That's all for us. Cheers. Chat to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening. And a reminder, you can find all the To The Last Drop podcasts on the Brendan Nell YouTube channel, iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.